This is the third of Carmine Falcone's thugs you've had declared insane and moved into your asylum.
Well, the work offered by organized crime must have an attraction to the insane.
Welcome to another episode of the Arkham Case Files, where the inmates run the asylum. I'm Darren.
It's Jason.
I'm Ian.
This is Chris.
And today we're going to talk about another of the iconic factions within the Batman game that's seen some new releases and updated rules, and it's going to be the Organized Crime Faction. So to start off with, I think we'll have a look at a little bit about how the faction plays and whether it's an easy faction for beginners to get into. So I'll throw this one out to Jason to start with. Do you think this is an easy faction, and how does it generally play on the table?
Yes and no is my answer. I would say kind of plays it's the opposite of Brave and the Bold, but has a very similar driving force. You want to reveal enemy suspects. How you're going to do this is different. Instead of having a few key models, it's very much a slow burn because your crew is generally kind of slow, and you have to get on the other side of the table to reveal their suspects. But other than that, it's rewards you for killing models, rewards you for having, you know, 9 to 11 moving pieces around the table trying to all synergize together. And it has some interesting deck mechanics like the Black Market, where you're slowly buying more equipment for models.
So, Chris, do you think it's one that you need to sort of get a lot of reps into to play? How does the deck feel when you start picking up and playing for the first time? Is it easy to understand which direction they're going in?
Yeah, I think for the most part, when you start, it starts to feel pretty easy to kind of, I would say, the theme of it. You start to understand that the cards do feel like an organized crime. Jumping in with that, it really helps. I would definitely put it more as one of the starter decks. Once you get the feel of the theme, the deck starts to really flow together pretty well. And because of the black money, you kind of want to keep as many of the actual crew cards. I mean, you might take out one of them to throw in some of the generic cards, but it's you end up losing out on that black market equipment. So I think you would want to keep as many of the standard ones in there.
And if I throw this to Ian, once you've become familiar with it, do you think it's a very rewarding crew for a more experienced player to continue to play as they get into the game?
I think so, especially with, I mean, the wealth of options for leaders, which we'll go into later, and henchmen. I think this is one of the more fleshed out crews that you'll have options as a experienced player to play.
Okay, so talking about the different leaders that you mentioned there, I think we could agree that outside of Brave and the Bold, Batman, this has probably got one of the largest selections of leaders that can affect the different ways you play the game. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty exciting as far as when you get into organized crime. You're not going to get bored with them as quickly as, I mean, not that you should be getting bored with any of them, but if you do find yourself getting bored with the crew because you're just kind of playing the same thing over and over, for example, say Riddler, there's not much variety in Riddler, but with organized crime, you have quite a bit of variety, and while some of them play similar, some of them play very different, and I appreciate that when building a list.
Okay, yeah.
And the add-on to that, the henchmen are so, I don't say bland, because you do have a lot of variety, but the boss just kind of puts his aura and it kind of makes everyone else feel slightly different. Not all bosses are applicable, of course, but it's not like the varieties of Batman, where it's just different ways to punch people. They do impact the crew.
So when you're building, Jason, then, do you tend to build to theme or do you tend to take for effectiveness? For example, would you tend to see Black Mask themed henchman in a Maroni list, or do you think you can still build within a theme?
I mean, if the question is, am I going to take the new Black Mask thugs when playing other bosses? Yes, I do think some of them are really good. And I would feel like I'm just shooting myself in the foot if I don't take them. But I mean, I don't know. Organized crime's been that spot for me where I always try 50-50. If I feel like it's a good list, I might not. I might go less with the D-listers. I might try having more suits just for the aesthetic, but only if I feel it's actually a good list.
And I think that's a fair point, because you've got to balance between like a theme and then actually something you want to put on the table and enjoy the game. Mm-hmm. So thinking about that, what we've done is we've each taken one of the leaders that we like the look of and are going to put a case forward for why we think you should take that particular leader. And then we'll touch a little bit on the options that we've not chosen as well. So I'll throw this open to Ian first. Who have you picked for your leader and why?
We're going to start from the top. I picked Lex. So he's obviously the most expensive leader out of all of them by a margin. But he gives you everything. Like, everything you want in a leader, in OC, you have in him. And he's good in this edition. For people who remember first edition, or second edition, when he first came out, everybody was poo-pooing him. But, so with that most expensive, he's also, because all the leaders you'll see throughout the theme as we're talking. So with the theme of OC, you'll see that just about everybody will either have strategist, or they'll come with extra money, or there'll be some other like abilities they'll give your crew. And Lex gives you everything. He has grand strategist, so he's going to give you more points so you can get through that deck quicker. He has scientific, so he can do most of his special actions every turn. He is adaptable, so he's able to kind of place his attacks and defense where he wants it at, and so on and so forth. He's also an exhaustive planner, which is great for that one time that you just want to say no to your opponent. And then he also brings, with absolute power, cops, which I think are very important in OC for the theme, and it's very important for him because he doesn't have to take flask to do that. And I think the cops really bring up OC a lot. And then, obviously, I mean, that's just the base Lex Luthor. And then you can give him the suit for another 35 points. And now your Lex Luthor is going to go around and punch people in the face and do some other crazy things. And then you don't care he's so far ahead because his bubble for Inspire is 18 inches or 16 inches or whatever. It gets doubled. So he's just everywhere. He's going to be flying every turn. He has scientific, so he'll be able to fly and then goad or intimidate someone. It's amazing. He's fun. And then he doesn't come with a card, but he comes with an equipment that I think is stapled to either Heavy Trooper or Sierra. And that equipment basically gives them accurate. So even if they assault, they don't really suffer the negative of assault. I think Lex Luthor is going to be a lot of fun for people.
Do you feel that he's at all because of the lack of numbers when he's, you know, particularly if you take the war suit when you're at 135 points? Hello?
Ian? I mean, do you want anyone to answer that one, Darren?
So, I feel with Lex Luthor especially, with even with the war suit, Heavy Trooper and Sierra, you can still fit 8 models in that crew, which is perfectly reasonable for most crews to have. I think that's a lot of options, and it's mostly going to be henchmen, and you're still going to be placing objectives down and doing all the things you want to do. OC is one of those crews that I feel like you want the guns, but at the same time, you want all the equipment that they have in their list because their equipment's very good. And Lex Luthor allows you to kind of be both sides with that extra money as well. So he does a lot for the crew, even though he doesn't come with a card, which I was a little sad at, but I think he's fine.
So maybe I'm just in a small boat over here by myself, but I think Lex Luthor without the war suit is not worth his 100 points.
Not when you can get Carmine for 75. But
I mean, I don't know. You come with Mastermind. You come with Mastermind. You have Goad and Intimidate for, you can do both of those every turn. You're Exhaustive Planner. You're going to be a native four defense with Adaptable, and you don't have to put anything on you really do anything. I mean, do I think he's going to be great at that? No, but I don't have to take Flass either to take all the great henchmen that are out there. I think there's a list with Lex Luthor leader. I haven't, like, just without the war suit, but I haven't found it yet. So there's a list out there that works.
I'm trying to think. I think I've played one list without the war suit, or I might have had war suit, but I didn't take Heavy Trooper. I don't quite remember. It was a while ago. It was before the deck. But I definitely liked his impact on the table. And the 16-inch Inspire range is really nice. But I think OC, you mentioned you're getting an 8-model crew. I think you want the 9 to 11 model crew. Or I think you want the 8 to 9 model crew with free agents and sidekicks. You know, spread out all your power. Played against Lex twice with the OC deck. And it really does feel like a lot of your eggs are in one basket besides Lurita and possibly 40 to 50 other rep with either high heavy trooper or some crazy D-lister. But you want more of that power spread.
Well, that sounds like a challenge then, Jason. So do you want to tell us who your choice is?
Yeah, we're talking about Carmine Falcone, a.k.a. the Roman. So who is he? He's a poor man's Lex, but he's 75 rep on the dime. You get an extra $500. He has the Grand Strategist, so plus 2 strategy points. And we haven't officially talked over the whole deck, but it's a resource deck. I've played a lot of games where you absolutely just destroy your opponent's game plan because you have resources to spend. The biggest thing I really like about him is he's unkillable, untouchable with the untouchable trait, which gives everyone basically bodyguard. And if they have bodyguard, they do it for free. So you don't even have to put a Medacity to get effort out of him. You're just like, okay, all I do is walk, and I just inspire people. All of his power is pregame. You've talked about absolute power with Lex. Carmine has that for cheaper. You can buy Corruption. And then you can get your 3 chop, your 3 cops, which is probably like the Detective, Lurita in some list. Or honestly, I've really been liking just taking the Taser cops, the Baton Cop from the DK Air Starter. 25 rep, you get the Bulletproof Vest. It just seems like a value cost. And they have some interesting equipment upgrades, so go Baton someone and deal their cards. And then the biggest thing, I have an objective card, unlike you, Ian, and that objective card lets me move 2 models 6 inches, and you could theoretically use Assassin to pop that one back in your hand, use the cleaner equipment, which should be 0-1, not 0-100, to get that back in hand. And it's a free. Like, it's amazing. I've used it almost every turn, every time I've played Carmine, which has been 4 games now. The last one I played, I ran an 8 strategy point list, and it wrecked. And that doesn't work without Carmine.
All right, you guys have anything to add? I don't really have anything to add to that one.
No, I mean, I agree. Falcone's good. I'm just making the case for Lex.
Yeah.
I think the thing for me with Falcone now is in second edition, he was just a victim. Anytime you put him on the table, his bodyguarding abilities only got him so far, and I never saw him actually survive a game. I think now, shorter game length and the way that it works with the efforting, it is a lot more viable to put him on the table and see him there at the end of turn 4, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I don't even think it's, like, being questioned that he's going to die. And usually, the list I ran, you just have your eggs in every basket. There is not a, like, I wasn't playing the Rita or any of these scary models besides Captain Cold, but you can keep them around with Killing the Rat. And since Carmine is the Grand Strategist, you can do that a lot more often. And the opponent just doesn't even want to talk, you know, to kill Carmine. It's like, well, as things get, I think I'd rather go for Scary Henchman, but you don't have one. So I just usually find them trying to do whatever they can.
Okay, so we've heard Jason and Ian give us a little bit of information on leaders that are supporting and not really giving us a lot from the front lines. Chris, do you have anything that actually has more of a direct impact on the game themselves, or are you talking about a support leader as well?
Okay, so hear me out here. I'm looking at Ventriloquist Arnold Wesker. A couple other reasons why I would kind of go with him, especially for someone kind of starting off. What I really like is if you're jumping into OC, you're probably buying the Black Mass box, and he comes with a lot of criminals. You can then pick up, depending on how you're buying, if you're buying the new releases, then it's all of these leaders come in a box, and this is moot. But if you are going back and you're finding some of the old stuff, you can pick up the Ventriloquist box that brings Showtime, Taylor, and Iceman. Iceman, even though it's 600 bucks, brings a rifle that deals triple blood with a rate of fire 3. Just throwing that out there. But one of the best things about Ventriloquist is his master criminal. So all friendly henchmen with the criminal trait gain a +1 bonus to their attacks when making attacks. That's something that really helps to elevate a lot of these smaller guys, where with any of the other leaders, you're really hoping just for straight gang ups to get any kind of a bonus. And even with him, you're still wanting to do the gang ups just because their attacks are 2, some of them are 3. But people are missing the thing that he actually buffs up a lot of the D-listers that came in with Criminal. So Killer Moth, Kite Man, Polka Dot Man, even the Eraser, Calendar Man, Condiment King, Crazy Quill, all of those guys come with the criminal trait. And then when you bring Wesker in, you could buy criminal trait for somebody else. So even some of those cops that you're bringing in through Flask buy criminal, and then they're still getting that bonus. And that +1 to hit goes pretty far. The other thing is he's got the hard guys that if they come with brass knuckles or reinforced gloves, they get the reroll the strength die. Not amazing, but at the same time, again, you're dealing with a lot of small, squishy guys that normally their strengths are 5+. So being able to have essentially sharp on brass knuckles or reinforced gloves is pretty amazing. He's on the cheaper end at 73, so you're running a 10 or 11 model crew. And then he also brings his own objective card. So the card itself is kind of wishy-washy. I'm just going to read it out real quick. So phase 2 scores at the end of the round for 3 points. Each time a friendly henchman performs a manipulate, place a stun marker on top of this card. Each time an enemy henchman performs a manipulate, remove a stun and have at least one stun at the end of the round. I don't think it's that hard to do when you have the high numbers of an organized crime crew. But his resource, when a friendly ventriloquist suffers damage, place it in contact with a friendly suspect within 4, cancel the damage and any effects, then remove the suspect. Well, that just works right in turn with the paying tribute, where you want your guys, your henchmen, to be placing suspects within 4 of your boss anyways. So it all just rolls together, and I think people are kind of sleeping on ventriloquist because of the model himself. He's the puppet. Do I want to play with the puppet, or do I want to play with some of these old school, Godfather type guys? When Scarface himself, like, just the crew really works. Him buffing up people helps a lot. And then between the Black Mass guys, so all of those guys are criminal, the D-listers are all criminals, and all the unknown henchmen coming out of the Back to Gotham starter box are criminals. So really, if all you got to do is pick up the Black Mass stuff, him, and you probably are hopefully have the Back to Gotham, you're set. You have more than enough models to build a couple different lists, and they all work really well with him. And you don't have to worry about spending tons of money and collecting the entire collection of OC to feel like you're getting your money's worth out of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement, but the ventriloquist himself, I actually think the model's great, and I don't know if everyone agrees with that, but I think his biggest downfall is you mentioned he was cheap rep. He's the same rep as Maroni, which we'll talk about later. He's two less rep than Falcone. Do you think the +1 to hit justifies not having the extra cash flow to buy guns and lack of strategist or grand strategist?
Well, I definitely think that hurts, But again, he is bringing more to the table with those D-listers. And it kind of promotes bringing those D-listers instead of tons of the little mooks. So you could get your strategist through Calendar Man.
True. I like having it all, though, Chris.
I mean, yeah, he doesn't bring he doesn't bring the extra funding, and he is a weak model, but he's got ways of negating damage. He's elusive, so if you try to shoot at him, it's not, you know, do you really want to risk it if he's going to be forcing you to re-roll? Plus he's tough skin. I just think for someone who wants to start in and not necessarily take a Lex, who is a high point model with a gajillion traits that you got to remember.
Yeah.
I think as a starter to jump into OC, you know, again, you're going to be buying that Black Mask stuff. So you could choose between Black Mask or Ventriloquist. I think he's almost an easier starting point, and he's going to go further with your, you know, like physical money.
So we mentioned, you know, we just have a few more leaders to go to, but this is the first boss that if you want cops, you're going to pay for the Flask tax, just taking Arnold's Flask, 40, 41 points, 200 funding. Okay, model. Do you think you're always going to do that with Ventriloquist in particular?
No, I mean, he's elite boss. I don't remember if all of them are all elite boss gangster.
They're not. Everyone but Black Mask and Lex is.
Okay, yeah. So because of that, I don't see him really playing with the actual cops so much. Again, you could bring him because you could always buy them criminal.
Of course.
But he's going to be much better bringing your standard mooks and a lot of those D-listers. So you could have more fun with those guys. I mean, he is a little bit on the squishy side, so you got to learn to keep him alive. But that's a lot of, other than Power Suit Lex, like most of those guys, you're saying, okay, well, let's bring a bodyguard or let's bring Polka Dot Man or whatever to keep him alive.
Yeah.
He's got other ways of getting out of it beyond just the bodyguard or Polka Dot Man, but I think you're still going to want to try to take, I don't know, a bare minimum of one bodyguard.
Fair. You have Thug Six to choose from. Everyone has him. You have the Organized Crime exclusive bodyguard, which is the tailor who happens to come with this model. So maybe Knight knew that he needed it.
Exactly. So,
And then if you do happen to get Flask, then you can get the Merkel, which seems like a pretty good cop.
And putting criminal on Merkel for plus one, not bad.
Yeah, it's a scary gun and it does deal stun, which for a gun, that's always interesting.
Well, I've gone a little bit old school and a little bit new school with my choice of OC leader, and I've thought about Black Mask himself. Now, he's instantly a win because he's a member of the chair club. He's not sitting in it in himself, but he has brought a chair to the table. And I think he's just a very good all-round pick. And what Jason was saying about Ventriloquist being able to support a new player and let you do things on the table, I think Black Mask does that as well. So he brings the strategist, which is important with the OC deck being resource heavy. He's got better stats than the other leaders because he's attack and defense 4. He's got 8 endurance. He's got a decent gun. It's medium range, causes double blood rate of fire 3, and it's accurate. And then he can still support these other models because he's got mob and order. So he can get those models to either take the extra attacks or put the suspect markers down where they need to be. And he brings Cruel, which for those torture influence laying out in front of him, just seems appropriate. And I don't just bring one objective card, I bring two. So instant 100% win there. And I just think he's a super solid all-rounder. I don't think he's going to be the best at doing anything. He does suffer from that lack of extra funding, which you've mentioned with Lex and Falcone. But I don't think there's a lot more I can really say there. I just think he's a very, very, very solid model with a chair.
Yeah, I would like to... So I've played him a few times. I do think mob's a huge deal. Didn't find myself using order a lot because, you know, you have to make a choice. Unlike AK Penguin, who just came out. But having able to mob, it's kind of I'm going to call it the poor man's moving ability with Falcone's card, because you can move someone 4 inches and then make a melee attack. I've definitely used it before just for the 4-inch move. So like that was cute. I liked it. And he has the ability to the steel cards, like a lot. His torture device has steel, and then he has the newly worded interrogation trait. So you're taking two cards out of someone's hand, and that could be very tilting. Don't know how often you're going to do it when you have a gun and you're kind of a slower model who's going to support people as well, but you have the option to do it.
Yeah, I feel like that comes in more of somebody goes to try to take Black Mask out, and it was a failed attempt. Now you have an enemy model sitting there. That's when Black Mask goes, all right, well, you tried to break in, your plan didn't work, and now I'm going to torture you.
Yeah, or you start using the program just to move models towards a Black Mask if you really don't want to move yourself there.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, I think Black Mask suffers from the power creep, and by suffers, I mean he's now probably the best for his points in the crew. The other guys got their little buffs, and they got their equipment, which is nice. But, you know, new shiny stuff is typically always more interesting than the older stuff.
Speaking of Black Mask, so we mentioned that's all the major bosses except for Maroni, who is just a poor man's Falcone. And that's kind of thematic for him. He does bring in some other cool stuff, but whatever. Fixer. She's the other torture person in the crew. A henchman. And there's still some sidekicks to go about. But are you pairing her up particularly with any boss? Her trait does seem to be very much about how the crew scores their deck, and it's slightly different. Do you think she pairs better with one person over another? I could see her with Arnold, just for that plus one to hit.
I was going to say, she brings Protect Me, so she kind of just fits in with the whole running around, being squishy. But I think she brings quite a bit with Ventriloquist. I mean, her stat line is pretty decent for 38, and then her traits are pretty damn good with evidence tampering. She's doing something. She's bringing positives to pretty much any of the crews. But I do like the plus one with the criminal anyways. Like that. I mean, that's just me.
So for those who are unaware, I'm discussing her in particular just because unlike the other henchmen, she is almost 40 points for organized crime. It's like, that's interesting. But she has the master torturer role, which when a friendly model within 6 inches of her would have killed or KO'd an enemy model in close combat, you may choose to instead move a player marker. So that's basically any marker that's not like a sewer, a lamp, some sort of event marker from like the scenario. So like riddle markers, most importantly, your pinch mobsters, your killing the wraths, new suspect, you know, a lot of options.
Yeah, owl markers, that could be brutal.
Owl markers, Joker gas canisters, you know, stuff. I don't know how much you're going to do it for little small stuff like that, but when you make a model K or casualty, you can let the opponent remove up to 3 damage, so they're not going to die. I mean, I guess unless they want them to die, but then you can just move a marker. Nothing says you can't do this constantly on the same model. So, you know, one dude makes their little attack. You would have died there. Then I go attack him again if I really want to. But you want to make sure you actually have the actions to do so.
Yeah, you might just let them die, you know. But another thing with that is because it says removes as casualty or inflicts as KO, there's a good chance with some of these crews that you knock them out and then you coup de grace and remove them as casualty after the fact. So you're still pinging that twice if the opponent's like, nah, just let them knock out.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, I think it kind of comes down to like, it has to be a close combat. So I'm like, I love Falcone, just the ability to move models so I can probably get them into close combat without having to use an action. That's great. But I think this one does work just great with the two more combat focused bosses, which is Arnold and Black Mask.
I would agree with that.
Which kind of makes sense. She was designed for Black Mask, but anyone can use her. But those are like the major henchmen that define the crew. You obviously have different moss takes. Those are the bosses. Sidekicks.
What about the option of taking a sidekick as a leader then? Because you've talked about like the bosses and how important they are and the influence. Is there for any of them to be taken as a leader over a boss?
Well, I think yes. If you really want to take a certain list, I don't think any of the sidekicks redefine the crew like the bosses, or at least as a boss, if you're taking a sidekick, they don't redefine the crew. And they don't redefine it as much as like Fixer or Flash. But you get four options. One of them, as of now, kind of like Maroni, where you're just not going to take, and that's probably Reaper. Don't think anyone's considering him right now. But then you have Holiday Killer. I don't think he's boss material. I do like him a lot as a sidekick, though. He's kind of just, he has a gun, it's assault. He's Assassin 3, he's strategist. For 60 points, I think he's barely worth it. Would play again.
Yeah, definitely.
But the two big ones.
Yeah, I would never take him as my boss, just because at 60 points, for another 13 to 15, I'm getting something much better.
Oh, yeah.
Two girls, Fright and Alexandra, which one of those would you actually take?
Depends on your list.
It does depend on your list. So I like both. Up front, I definitely looked at it more as the Alexandra show is the better. But Fright's harder to kill. Fright brings some interesting traits that might not straight up just murder models. Like Fright's, is it a carbine or assault rifle? It's a custom. It's the Lurita's gun, basically. And then she has the RPG. So with her, you get, without Black Mask, their big deal is Lieutenant. So then become zero funding. Without Mask, she has dirty money. So she's $100. Cool. Basically for free. Almost. So, just to get the RPG. Other than that, though, she doesn't do as much. She has a smuggler. But, I mean, she's just a great model. I don't think anyone's arguing that fact. They're just way too strong. But Fright. Ian, do you want to tell us why you might take Fright as a boss? I think she has some play, especially if you're going to stack up
into
the scary part.
She is scary. The biggest thing is, so she has Discourage, which, okay, -2 to Willpower, and she has Inspire Fear. Okay, well, she can't do both of those. Well, she can because she's scientific. So she does like a mini scarecrow effect. And then the Fixer, which is who we were talking about earlier, also has a bubble of -1 willpower. So you've got her to throw in probably the scarecrow, and now you're going to have just two bubbles of Inspire Fear just murdering people every turn. And like, Bright's no joke. She's like this souped up, like mini Batman, Batwoman running around with like 12 movement and ridiculousness. Like, she's no joke in combat at all. I think people are probably going to sleep on her for a while because Alexandra looks cooler. But I think even in just Black Mask and throwing her in as like a mini bubble of Inspire, that I think she'll be great with. She's a little bit cheaper. She kind of can go do her own thing and then still inspire the people around her, or just on herself, on her own. Like, if you just take her as the leader, I think she's going to be really good.
So hear me out. I don't think Fright works as well as a leader because of the high movement. I think that the crew itself is slower than some of the other crews. So your henchmen are going to get left behind. She's not going to have the protection that she needs. And I don't think she's tough enough to hold her own out in the middle of nowhere. She kind of runs into that Harley thing where just too fast for the crew, and it actually hurts you because then you've lost your Inspire. I think she makes an amazing sidekick, and she could probably be good for a sidekick on almost any of those other leaders, but I don't think she's good at leading.
So I want to mention two things. One, Ian, we mentioned the Inspire, and you kind of hinted that you can still do that with the boss. Just for those who aren't aware of a card, this is the case. Lieutenant trait, if you're taking Black Mask, they both get Inspire, basically. It's worded differently, so they wouldn't ping off radios and stuff. I think we mentioned that in the Brave and the Bull video, that I would talk about it later. This is later. Double Inspire is obviously amazing, everybody. I don't need to talk about that. Having extra action is great. So, Chris.
Two free manipulates is great.
Yeah. you mentioned you wouldn't take her as a boss, and I think she's the only one I would consider besides, I mean, if I really wanted to play Alexandra just because, or if I wanted to play them together. Would you consider playing them together instead of bringing Black Mask? Or do you think for the extra, let's just say, you know, 10 to 9 points, is it always better to upgrade one of the girls to Mask?
It's going to cost you some. I think I would. I would take Alexandra as my leader. She's got the longer ranged weapons to where she's going to be able to hang back with my guys, and I don't have to worry about it so much. You know, she's always going to be able to shoot 16 inches because of her bionic eye. So yeah. She's not having to put herself out there. So if you wanted to have kind of those two floating bubbles of, well, Alexandra handles, you know, damage control and the Inspire, and then you have Fright going over and doing the Inspire thing with the Fixer, you know, that's two scary bubbles you don't really want to mess with. I'm kind of digging it. I like it.
So we also mentioned Scarecrow with Linda. And there's obviously some other free agents I love in this crew. But I think Scarecrow and her seemed like an interesting synergy that's fluffy. Are you only taking that if you're just playing Linda? I mean, we have the rule that usually you don't want to put, you know, three characters down. Like, that's 100 and... Hey, I'm doing the math. But I don't know. Let's almost pushing 200 points. If you had three characters, none of them are necessarily helping with the manipulation game, is that okay? Or is it Scarecrow or one of the henchmen for you? Or one of the sidekicks?
That one's tough. I mean, yeah. It's a fun fluffy. I don't know how competitive it's going to be at the end of the day, but it would definitely be a fun list to run to just create some havoc.
I think it's a lot better than people are saying, just because you're not using your attack action to remove models, which still allows you to then either do your attack action or remove another model potentially, or then to use that to place out an objective. So I think that's a big thing that I don't see a lot of people talking about, is just the fact that you can remove two models with that Inspire Fear and a shot, or Inspire Fear, place an objective down, and then score a card based off of that. Mm-hmm. That's why I think those Inspire Fear bubbles are actually really good, more than anything else.
So hear me out. Ventriloquist with Alexandra as her sidekick, she gets +3 to hit.
I want to double check. I thought it was just henchman, Chris.
Let's double check that real quick.
I also don't know if Alexandra has criminal. I know one of the girls doesn't have it.
No, she does have criminal.
She has criminal.
It's just friendly henchman there. Damn. Yeah, only friendly henchman with criminal get the +1.
I was going to say, because I was looking at Heatwave and him earlier, and I was like, yeah, this doesn't work.
I tried.
So you touched a little bit, you know, obviously with Scarecrow being a nice combination with Fright. Are there any of the other, say, D-listers that you want to take with any particular leaders, or are there any that you just drop into the crew in general?
Well, before we talk about the D-listers, because those are typically henchmen, other free agents I really like, which we mentioned before, Hush. Because he's scheming, this kind of can speed up the crew. There's a particular card, Spring Cleaning, that you want to reveal two specific suspects. After you kill a model, they drop them. With scheming, too, you could move that together. We've already mentioned before Calendar Man, for the same reason, scheming and strategist. Captain Cold, I played him with the freaking Carmine. It's amazing. Catwoman also seems really good. You know, basically the 70-point free agents, it's all the ones we've already talked about before. I can't think of too many other ones that are really standing out to me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Most of those 70-point...
Are we taking Boogeyman?
What was that, Ian? You said Boogeyman?
Are we gonna...
I think he's talking about the gold card from the Batmatch kit in 2nd edition, basically the John Wick.
Yeah, Boogeyman. Here, let's look at his stats. He's assassin. He's everybody looks for. He's basically Maroni, except where he has instinctive shooting. So that's just a special action. You don't lose the dice for moving. He has an undercover, which is worse than hidden from a holiday killer. He's a master marksman, so you can re-roll your dice, which is very similar to Holiday Killer's rule where you're shooting a model of 50 points or higher. You can re-roll everything. The Holiday Killer lets you re-roll the strength dice as well. Mars Marksman, it doesn't, but there's no distinction on reps, so you can shoot some henchmen. He's a veteran, which does nothing. Martial Artist is nice because you're defense four. And then his guns, he has the automatic gun, very much the same as Holiday Killer, except for he doesn't have a silencer and he doesn't have assault on it. And then he has the carbine, which is the rate of fire 5, assault, firearm, M range. I think he's good. I don't know if I'm going to take him for 70 points and 450 funding. I think I'd rather Holiday Killer.
I would rather put that funding into my henchman mm-hmm. than into a single 70-point free agent. And I think that's kind of the unfortunate with a lot of the other free agents. I mean, you're not bringing Deadshot that often anymore. Deadshot seemed to be one of the, especially the Wheelshot Suicide Squad Deadshot. He was kind of a staple of the organized crime list back in second. And while still good, you really need those schemings, the masterminds, the strategists. They got to bring something a little bit more than just some fancy guns in third edition because your henchmen bring all that shiny stuff anyways.
So we're now always having a discussion about the traits that you're looking for. No one seems to mention assassin as much anymore. But like I mentioned, this is a resource heavy crew and I felt it was a big deal in my, my last game against Richard for playing OC. So that's Boogeyman, Holiday Killer. And the only free agent that I think has assassin is KG Beast. Would you play KG Beast in this crew? He's only Assassin 2, so he's not pulling the character cards.
Ooh, that's a tough one, because while he is 95, he should be deleting a model each turn. If he's not able to delete a model each turn, I think you screwed up. If you can find a way to get rid of at least one, you know, I'd say 40-point type model, he's worth it all around. I just don't know if that 95 in a crew where you want those high numbers is going to be worth it to you.
I don't know.
Because I was looking at them.
I played a list with 3 70-point characters, well, like 75, 72. And I could maybe, and I still had 9 models, and you know, I had some pretty decent models in there. So there might be a list out there with him.
Yeah, like you said, if you're bringing him for the assassin to get the cards back, I don't know. The problem then is you also have to have strategists to be going through your resource cards quick enough that it makes it worth pulling it back and still being able to play it in that turn.
It's the Carmine game, baby. It's either that or, I don't know, you're going to take more 0-point cards just to help make sure you can play the cards that you don't necessarily want an assassin back. But I think that's it for the free agents, really. Unless anyone else stands out to you guys, but
no, like we said, you're looking. All the I good think ones. It's more important in this crew that it's not about the damage output, but about the extra little trickery that they bring to help your resource count with strategist or making sure you can go first. Because with the numbers game, you're probably going to be giving a lot of passes to your opponent. So having the extra masterminds to help kind of counterbalance that.
I don't really see any other ones I'm looking at too heavily. Maybe Catwoman, if you're not running the Roman, might be interesting.
What about Mad
Hatter? That's really it.
So Mad Hatter sits in a weird spot where right now he still has some equipment. I don't think that's going to stick because he is just a free agent. But he is a mastermind. He sits in that 70 rep, 200 funding. He's got a pretty decent gun. And, you know, he still has mind control device. He's not the leader he used to be. But I can see him having a role in OC still, even as a free agent.
Yeah, I think he brings I think he brings a lot of nice stuff to the table. It's just whether you're going to pick him over the ones that you've already mentioned. And I think it's going to be tough to maybe justify him. I think you're looking at specific builds again for it, but yeah, I think he's always a solid option, but maybe not the first one I think of.
I don't know why you would ever take him over Quasi Quilt.
Yeah, I mean that's a fair point. I think the mastermind's the only thing that potentially gives him, I mean, gives him his edge, not necessarily an edge over Crazy Quilt.
Yeah, just depends on the crew. I want to say he's $100 cheaper than Crazy Quilt. He's off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure it's a 300. He's 200. So I don't know. For 30 more points, maybe that's better if you're taking a boss that doesn't give you extra funding, or if you just acknowledge that the funding pool is pretty tight already in this crew. Even with the extra $500 with certain bosses, you want to spend that money.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're playing, I don't know, let's say you make 11 model crew, if that's the difference of a 10 to 11 model crew, maybe that's okay. Maybe that gives you an extra backpack. Maybe that lets someone become a cleaner. Maybe you can buy someone reinforced gloves. That's $100. So it does things.
Do you think there's ever
the overall crew affiliation? Is there any particular henchmen that stand out to you guys? I think we already acknowledged the 70 point free agents that every crew finds good or really good, which is up for debate if that's a good balance point for this game.
Depending on what you want to do, I always tend to look at Heavy Trooper. Yeah. I'm going to throw him into 90% of lists.
I'm not, but I think that's okay. I do think he's just very lethal. But I do think 55 rep, and is he 500 or 550 funding?
500.
500.
500.
And if you're putting 500 into somebody, you're probably buying them more gear and equipment.
Oh, for sure. You want to buy them some stuff to keep them around, which the Kevlar vest got cheaper. I think they officially got bulletproof vests now. I don't remember. But I know that was, I talked about it before they got the stuff. I think when the app dropped, that came. I don't know. If you're playing Lex or Carmine, I think it's actually doable. If not, I wouldn't even consider.
I think the only other, I wanted to pick up one of the guys, the Black Mask, Thug 5.
Okay, Ian's cutting out, but he said...
computer intrusion, just to move objectives, I think is important, as we is very good.
Yeah. Ian, all we got to that was move objective.
Oh, okay, I heard Ian. So he said Black Mass Thug 5, he thinks is a must pick, which is the 20-point thug with the bolt cutters. He has computer intrusion, so it's a poor man's hacking, but it has a slightly bigger range. So it's 8 inches instead of 6 inches, but it can only move suspects, and it moves suspects 2 inches. And then he also has handyman. So if you're not playing Black Mask and one of the girls for double inspire, that's another way to get this inspire action going. You know, there's so many good henchmen in this crew, and you're probably going to have about like 200 to, I don't know, 220 points that you're going to spend on henchmen, depending on if you're taking more than one character, which in third is up for grabs if you're going to do or not. I definitely think you can. And he's defense too. So that's the trade-off.
Yeah, definite trade-off in this edition. Just before we wrap up, one thing we've not touched on is the use of the black market equipment. Is there any of the choices of the black market equipment that, you know, if you're scoring the cards that you're going for straight away, or is that a situational thing for you guys?
Well, I mean, there is the one that lets you pseudo not have to give audacity to a model. That seems really good. The Night Nurse is kind of pseudo. I think it's a small, like, I think it's, we discussed Medic, I think in the Brave and the Bold video, where if you're healing one damage, it's kind of like, okay, most models are going to be one and dones in this crew, but it's nice. It's really good for like Heavy Trooper or somebody like that. And you know, it's something just people won't expect. Let's be a little more crucial, careless with your efforts, we'll say. The only other ones I really like is, like, you know, you got Street Protection, which is basically just light armor.
All pretty situational.
The one that lets you discard a card.
None of them are ones that are, like, at the very top of my list, where I'm sitting there thinking, okay, the first thing I'm doing is I'm scoring these, and then I'm buying that. They're all going to be play it by ear, and that's probably what I love about the black market is... there isn't anything that's a must take right away.
Yeah, to me, that's a good thing, because I don't want to see auto takes necessarily like the first thing that you pick. So before we wrap up, is there anything else that you guys want to add in about organized crime and why people should try it and pick it up?
It's an interesting crew. Has an amazing deck. I actually love it. We haven't talked too hard about that because we're moving away from it. But yeah, I love their deck. I think we made a point for basically every boss. And obviously, I think anyone who is very active in the community knows models are constantly changing with the app. I know I've had a few discussions about some models that we didn't talk about today. Henchman-wise, I love Batista. We didn't mention him, but he's great. Salt on shotguns. Nice. But yeah, give it a try. Play a few games and move over to another boss. It will make your games feel different, but you'll still feel comfortable with the deck. And I can't say that about other crews. It's either too radical of a change, like Scarecrow to Bane, or not different enough, like Batman to slightly different Batman.
Okay, so I think with that, thanks for listening. This was the Arkham Case Files, where the inmates run the asylum. Bye for now.